Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Yalesh Darel. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about failure, about our failures in life and how do we relate to them correctly. Our failures, the failures of our beloved ones. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, failure is really something that we encounter a lot in life. And alongside with it being a very natural part of our life, we're surprised every time anew that we've failed. Meaning we're expecting to succeed and we're not expecting to fail. Meaning there's a kind of a disbalance between our relation to failure and success, for sure, even though that both of them are natural. Because our substance is the will to receive, the will to enjoy. And therefore, if I'm not enjoying, then I don't understand. Why am I not enjoying? Because I don't have anything besides this desire. And so I'm perplexed. What's going on? I was created in order to enjoy. And wait a second, what's going on here? I'm suffering. This is impossible. It's unjust. And I get mad at life, and I get mad at everyone, that I'm not enjoying. But who promised you that you have to enjoy? That you're created this way, that this is how you were born. Fine, everyone was born with a will to enjoy, more or less, in one or another direction. But we still demand, meaning we always have a feeling of failure to some extent. The feeling of failure always frightens us, and it exists in us, and it constantly awakens us to search for something in order to make sure that it won't come true. Can you explain this? I am the will to receive pleasure, to enjoy. And instinctively, I'm all the time looking for pleasures. If pleasures don't come to me, then I have to bring them forcefully. It's called through exertion. And if I also have a hard time doing it through exertion, then I start getting mad. I start checking what's going on. Because I, by nature, I was born and formed with the will to receive pleasure. So why doesn't my will to receive pleasure, meaning that I'm not enjoying, and then a person feels bitter in life, the less he knows how to fulfill himself, the more he feels that he's failing. You said that we always feel this fear of failure. Where does it come from? Why does it exist in me always, since I might not fulfill my desire to receive pleasure? So what am I afraid of? I didn't fail yet. You said that the fear of failure always exists in us. The will to receive pleasure exists in me. I consist of, I was created in the will to receive pleasure, and so I'm constantly examining, can I or can't I enjoy? So I always have this fear, this anxiety, this feeling. Will I or won't I receive pleasure? Look how a dog is walking down the street all the time looking where. This is how we are in life. Will I enjoy or won't I? Am I coming closer to some kind of pleasure or not? I just want to see if I understand anything that can harm even a bit. My full optimum feeling of pleasure is already a source of danger for me. Look how you're sitting, how you're talking, how you're moving your hands and legs and your head and everything. It is all in order not to reach failure and in order to enjoy in the best possible way in the current given situation. Okay, I understand this. Also, our natural expectation is to expect success, meaning also as grown-ups that already understand life, we went through failures, we have kids, and we see that their path is paved with failures, that it's a part of the process of learning in life. They also always expect to succeed. true because we consist of the will to enjoy, and therefore we're constantly searching for when will I receive pleasure. As if eliminate this option altogether. A failing? Not eliminating it, but many times in life I ignore it. True? Because your desire is arranged, is calibrated on pleasure.
Okay.
The desire is calibrated on pleasure, this I understand. What I'm trying to understand is then, why do we have failures in life? If we consist of a substance which is the will to receive pleasure, and my desire is constantly aimed at receiving pleasure, why is life paved with failures, different kinds of failures? Why are they there? And why? I, as a person, don't notice them, that they're there, and I fail every time anew, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised. How is that possible? Why do I deserve this? And every time, as if I don't remember these 1,000 failures that I went through already, and it's impossible for me to fail again. Why is it built this way? Because your desire to receive fulfillment, happiness, is renewed every time, and therefore every time you don't understand, why am I failing? It's very simple. But once you know what's the right path to happiness, and you try to follow it, then along the way, you already maybe see failures, but it's like stumbling on a rock or a bump that you have to cross. But the direction is already correct, and therefore you don't see these failures as failures or disappointments, but you see them as disturbances, partial disturbances, and then you start seeing that these aren't disturbances, but that you need them in order to reach that pleasure that you're directed at. I want to ask about the different perceptions that the public has regarding failures and success. There is an approach that says, you have to try until you succeed. There are different stories about people like Walt Disney, like the person that built Honda, that tried to work as a mechanic at Toyota. They didn't take him to work, so he created Honda. Or Walt Disney, who wanted to work as a graphic designer in some office. They didn't hire him, so he built this empire. Meaning, behind all these stories, the message is that you have the potential to succeed. Try and try and try. You're okay. Eventually, you'll succeed. What do you think about this approach? And it's not only related to business or culture or special skills. For example, Thomas Edison, if I remember correctly, he said, I made 10,000 experiments, but actually I didn't fail. I found 10,000 ways that don't work, how to create what I wanted to create. So on my way there, I as if didn't find something 10,000 times, meaning the approach says that you should never despair. You have a goal, keep on going, eventually you'll succeed. What do you think about this worldview? These are unique people that are big experts, each in his own field. And there were thousands, if not millions, that also tried to do the same and didn't achieve anything eventually. And therefore, this isn't the method. This isn't the way. The method for each and every person is simple. First and foremost, to mark the goal. What is the goal? What is the goal of your life? And then, after I reach it, not the achievement of the goal itself, but determining what the goal is. Then I have to understand that if I'm headed toward this goal, whatever happens on the way, it is toward the attainment of the goal. And on the way, there could be bumps and pits and different confusions and failures. But it's all a part of the path. It's all on the way, like with Edison. These people, they had a goal, and a goal of their own, meaning I'm not taking something like mankind wants to create some kind of a universal medicine for cancer. Because who am I? What am I? I need a personal goal of my own. What can I achieve? What do I have to achieve? And in what way can I achieve it? And then I examine for myself, what's the data? What kind of supporters are there? What kind of help is there on the way, so-called remedy? All the things that I need in order to achieve the goal. But first of all, what is a man's goal in life? And what does a person have to understand from failure when he follows the path that's right for him? First of all, as I'm headed toward the goal, I have to learn how do you achieve it, in what way, by what means, who can be in favor, who's against, what can help me, and so on. And then, after I more or less depict this to myself, I even make some kind of sketch, or I create a list of questions, suppose, that I have to solve along the way, then I head toward it, I follow that. So I see it as something that advances me. And then I look at everything, even if it's as if a failure on the way, as something that advances me. Like what Edison said, that all these things advanced me. Did the failures along the way say something about me or my ability to succeed? No, it doesn't matter. Maybe I failed, next time I'll be smarter, I have to do my homework in regards to every failure, but this is how it works. I want to go back to those professionals that we talked about. When a person's still young, he thinks that he can be that expert, meaning his potential is not revealed yet. And everyone thinks that if I'll continue and try and try and try, eventually I'll become that amazing expert that's hidden inside of me. How can a person know whether his failure is one that pays off, meaning that eventually will lead me to the right place, or it's a futile effort that eventually nothing will come out as a result? How can a person know? If a person has scrutinized the goal for himself, then everything along the way, he will not see it as failure. He'll see it as necessary things for the attainment of the goal. So again, everything's related to determining the correct goal. Now, so according to what you're saying, there are no failures in life, actually. It's all a learning process along the way. Sure, as long as a person has chosen the correct goal, that this is his goal, and he appreciates it more than anything else in life. And if he didn't choose the right goal and he failed, then this failure only awakens his criticism to choose the right goal. Going back to what a person feels, I failed after I chose the correct goal. What will I feel then? Compared with if I failed and it's not my path, I chose someone else's goal. That the failure completely throws me out of the game. Because failure, many times, a person feels that he's to blame. There was something wrong with him. He's not good enough. Sometimes it really shakes you up from your very foundations. When you choose the correct path, your path, do you also experience these feelings of strong inner instability? No. If I'm following the correct goal, then I see all failures in terms of how much they can help me scrutinize the goal, advance toward it. Advance. I don't see failures in life at all. These aren't failures. These are simply milestones. Okay, another perception says that the thing that helps best deal with failure is endurance. And this is actually my emotional ability to accept and deal with all of these bad feelings that accompany failure. Meaning that if I ignore the feeling of failure, then eventually it'll be harder to overcome it. And if I do enter the feeling of failure and accept it as a part of life or the situation, then it'll be easier to overcome the failure. What do you think? My opinion is that, again, a person from his failure has to examine, is he on the right path or not, toward the correct goal or not, and then this failure will be as a kind of springboard that takes him to the next degree. But he'll still feel negative feelings once it happens. Of course, how can a person advance without that? Is it important to feel that negative feeling? Of course, but for a short moment. I want to ask about determining what the right goal, correct goal is. Suppose I want to find a spouse, and I fail. And this failure creates emotionally very hard feelings in me. What then? I'll tell you that maybe you had experiences with many women that it seemed to you that they're suitable for you, but eventually you scrutinized that they're not. And therefore, you reach a certain feeling of disappointment, but you're disappointed of those women that you've met. Now you have to scrutinize. What exactly are you looking for? Who are you looking for? What kind of life are you going to build? Not a Hollywood life, but something that's more suitable for you. And then, in accordance with that, you have to find a woman that's suitable for that, and then you won't have failure, but actually success. But it has to fit, it has to be suitable for your goal in life, for you, for it to fit you, for it to be your other half. Okay, suppose I take these things and I try to feel and think about them and I advance and I keep on looking for my spouse and I go on a date and even have a relationship and I fail again. What then? It's a sign that still you're searching incorrectly in an incorrect state, according to incorrect demands or an incorrect goal. But if you direct yourself correctly, it is impossible that you will not find a spouse that will truly be your spouse in attaining the goal, meaning for life. I'll give you an example from a different field, but I'm trying to scrutinize a very specific point. I'm going to a job interview, something that I think that is exactly for me. I really want this position. I do all the preparations and everything. I fail. Now I'm smiling, but it's not a situation that you smile in. And suppose that I also really need it and so on, and I fail. How do I relate to that? It's learning on my way to something. I wanted to get this position, and I failed. Someone else took that position. I failed. I don't see that I learned anything from this. I'm bitter. I failed. I'm sad. How can I look at this situation maybe from a different angle than what I feel now? Of course you can look at it from a different angle. How? I'm not talking in terms of psychology. Carnegie talked about it a lot and different other psychologists. Again, the way that I look at it is that you needn't see the position itself, but your goal in life. It's impossible that your place of work will be your goal in life, your meaning in life, because life is much more than your place of work. Even though that today we see that everywhere they want to make work your meaning in life. It's really turning people into machines and animals. So, were I to fail in this work, then I'd be concerned with, what am I left with? Do I have something greater in life than this work, than this job, or not? Is this job my entire meaning in life, or is it a means? If it's a means, it could be something else. The main thing is what I have in life. That this is my North Star. This is what I want to reach. Meaning, I have to have something in life that no one can take away from me. And in that, I don't depend on anyone, but only me, my goal, and maybe the upper force. And then, I'm happy. I have something that's only mine. I'm not dependent on anyone in that. I'll have more livelihood or less livelihood in one place or another. Of course, I can regret it that I didn't get it and that now the opportunities that I have are not as good and so on. But still, I remain with what's mine. It's like a person that understands that he has a home and a wife and kids and a family, that it's mine, that it's something. And around this, I have to get along. How can we teach such an approach? Both ourselves, the grown-ups, and also children. How do you teach such an approach? Like you said, it's education. It's a problem. We see the very opposite, that what's taught in school, I was amazed to hear. Today, we're going to learn about livelihood, meaning not about profession, but livelihood. Meaning livelihood is number one, meaning what brings more money. This is what the teacher tells the students. I witnessed this. What brings more money? And accordingly, what should we choose? Does it fit all the children? What are you making machines out of them? It suits the one, doesn't suit the other. This is the approach. The teacher needs education too. So you're saying that the entire system is in a non-simple problem here. The system itself is a problem. In the few minutes that we have left, I want to ask about my attitude toward the failures of other people. Up until now, we talked about my attitude toward my own failures, but many times it's very hard for me to deal with the failures of others, whether I'm a boss at work and my employee failed in some project. So beyond his own failure, there's also how do I correctly relate to his failure in this situation as a mother toward her children. In general, in the relations between people, we have an expectation for something to happen. And it depends on someone else. And once that other person fails in something, I have to respond to that. What's the correct attitude? Depends toward whom. If I'm a manager and there are people working for me and they have to do what I say, then I'm responsible for everything. It's possible that I'm giving them work and they only have to carry it out in a simple mechanical way. So it all depends on me. How did I explain it? What tools did I give them to cope with this? How do I examine them? And this is how we reach the implementation. If these are people that are doing some kind of creative work, this is something else. then I have to take care of their creative power to advance them and so on. It depends whether a person's a machine or is it a person with all the different options for inner development and the expression that we'll see in what he does. With children, it's all the time about their expression. I'm not demanding of a child to just do homework mechanically. I demand his participation, the measure to which he understands that he has to do it, for him to want to do it, for him not to want to do it, but to force himself to do it because there is a goal, a higher goal that's more important. Here, I have to have an attitude toward that little person that this is what I want to develop in him, and not that, did you do your homework? Didn't you? Why did you? Why didn't you? And so on. And when he fails, how do I as a parent relate to that? Together with him, I go into that failure and we learn why did we fail? Why did we fail? Not he alone. He has to receive from me complete certainty. I'll share a scene with you that repeats itself in many homes. A child brings home a bad grade from school and then the parents, they're either angry or what's the right attitude towards something like that? Until I started studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, this is how I related to it too. When I started studying, I remember that gradually I changed my opinion. We first and foremost have to give a child a complete feeling of security and a complete feeling of love, that this is the main thing that he has, that he won't lose this in life. And then, after he receives it, then we start examining. What did he fail in? We don't pay too much attention to it. It's not the end of the world. The main thing is the feeling of security and love that exists between us, that he'll see that this is how he has to both relate to life in general and to his children too. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Everything we talked about today is extremely important. We'll try to implement these things. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.